So I was roommates with my best friend from high school at the time. I remember when my first weekend away from home came, you know, and being from a devout Catholic family, I knew I needed to get to Mass on Sunday. In fact, my mom called me to remind me, just in case I had forgotten. My best friend was not Catholic and really not really a practicing Christian. And for whatever reason, I was nervous to tell him that I was going to go to Mass. Why? I don't know. Probably because I was wondering what he might think of me. You know, in retrospect, I don't know why I cared so much at the time. Sure enough, when I told him I was leaving to go to church, he looked at me with a strange expression. "Brian," he said, "you know you're not with your parents anymore. Are you really still going to go to church?" Now, if someone had said that to me today, it'd be easy for me to just blow it off, right, and keep on going on with my day. But at that time, those words stung me. Yet the Lord was calling me on to witness to my faith simply through my fidelity to my faith, even when no one was being faithful around me. So the readings this weekend, they center around this tension between the Hebrew people and the Gentile, the non-Hebrew people. The Hebrew people in general were strongly opposed to the Gentile people. And whenever the two had mixed, their faith became dumbed down. And often the Hebrew people would turn to idol worship. So they kept their distance. But in the first reading, the prophet Isaiah prophesies about a time when this tension for the Gentiles would be undone, and the chosen people would encompass both Hebrew and non-Hebrew people in the worship of the one true God. This, of course, would have been unheard of at the time of the prophecy. To have non-Hebrew people become a part of the people of God, no. That would have been hard to grasp. And this tension between the Hebrew and Gentile nations is further seen in our gospel. So, at first glance, our Lord's harsh way of dealing with this particular Gentile woman might seem troubling, right? And at least initially. He almost seems to be rude to her, right? But you got to remind yourself, Christ was God and therefore had divine insight into the hearts of the people with whom he interacted. He knew what people were thinking and the state of their heart. And we can see this very clearly in other passages of the Gospels. Therefore, Christ adapts his way of dealing with people to their individual situations and needs. He knows how much a person can handle. In this particular case in today's gospel, we need to understand that our Lord's actions are tailored to the faith of this Canaanite woman. He clearly knows that she has faith. And so he puts her faith to the test in order to stretch her faith and to teach the apostles and disciples an important lesson. Remember, when our faith is stretched, it actually grows stronger. It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs, our Lord tells her. And he wasn't lying. Christ's first priority was to the Jewish people, since they were the chosen people and from whom and for whom the Messiah had come. Yet, with extreme humility and tremendous faith, and probably perhaps a bit of spunk too, this woman presses on, not taking insult from our Lord's words. Even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table. Impressed by her perseverance, he rewards her faith by releasing her daughter from the demonic possession. But you got to put this in perspective. His disciples would have been scandalized at this miracle, since she was not Jewish. Why was he talking to her? Why was he wasting his time with her? You see, our Lord was not held back by societal animosities or culture. Christ allowed this scene to unfold in order to point to the fact that with the establishment of his church, the chosen people would now include all people and not just Jewish. As St. Paul would explain in the second reading today, everyone was invited to have an authentic friendship with God. Now, to us here, I don't think we think twice about this truth anymore, right? But, like I said, to the early Christians, the idea of having non-Jewish peoples being part of the church was difficult for them to grasp. Yet our Lord had told them to go out and make disciples of all nations. It didn't matter what heritage they came from, or what they looked like, or where they lived, or what they ate. Everyone was called to holiness, to being close with the one true God. And it was the disciples' mission to make this happen. In other words, everyone was called to be a Christian, a member of the church that Christ established. Therefore, overcoming this animosity, the early Christians strived to bring the gospel to all the corners of the earth. This was the first great evangelization of the world. And because of this, the majority of the world eventually bore the name Christian. Now, interestingly, in today's age, now it seems the majority of people only bear that name. In other words, they are baptized, but they no longer believe or practice their faith. On a census, right, people claim they are Catholic. We're the biggest religion in the world, as we should be. But many times, the last time they were in church was for their child's confirmation, or only at Christmas and Easter. Pope St. John Paul II said there needed to be a re-evangelization of the gospel. He said that a new evangelization was needed, as if people had never been proclaimed it before. Further, we need to not only bring new people into the church, but people back into the church, especially now after COVID, when many people stopped going to church in general. For even though Christian culture is still exteriorly around in some places, interiorly, the faith is absent in lives of many Christians. Therefore, that original call of Christ to preach the gospel to all nations, no matter who you are or where you are from, is just as needed today as it was 2,000 years ago. As we know, the church, by her very nature, is meant to evangelize, to preach the faith. The word Catholic, Catholicos in Greek, literally means universal. The church is for everyone. God desires all peoples, Jew and Gentile, to be given the saving graces found in the sacraments. But how do we evangelize in our modern day to people of all walks of life? I mean, further, so many people have preconceived notions of Catholicism or God in general, religion in general, right? People today claim to be, quote unquote, spiritual, which is just a new term for a lazy agnostic. You know, when we think of evangelization, we might also sometimes think of Mormons or Jehovah Witnesses coming to our doors to talk to us. For some reason, they never come to my door. I don't know why. Anyway, yet, as we also know, that's not the only kind of evangelization. Right? There are ways to start small so we can get used to the idea of bringing people into the faith. And the easiest way to begin evangelizing, which I've talked on many times, is to have confidence in our Catholic faith. In other words, to not be afraid or embarrassed to be Catholic. What I mean by this is that we must be willing to show that our faith is something worth being a part of, that it is central to our lives. And this is important in the workforce, and especially important on a college campus. Now, too often in our lives, when religion is brought up in our conversations, we're tempted to steer away from it, right? We feel it's private. Right? Too often we don't want to appear too religious. After all, that seems weird or unnecessary. Or perhaps we're embarrassed of our faith because of the public sins of some of its members. Right? I know around young people, it seemed to be different to be very religious. Yet, if we come off as being embarrassed about our faith, What does that say about the importance of our faith in our lives? In other words, how inviting is that to other people? In order to evangelize in our present age, we've got to be proud to be Catholic, confident in our Christian faith. After all, people generally respect confidence. Now, you don't need a master's degree in theology to be able to be confident. If, when conversations come about faith, right, even at times tough conversations, we happily say we're Catholic and even invite others to Mass on Sunday, that teaches simply through our words and actions that Sunday Mass is something to which we believe is worth coming, that the Eucharist is what we claim it to be, the body and blood of Christ, and he is worth receiving, that only by having a true friendship with Christ can we get through the ups and downs of life, that we want people to be part of the church our Lord founded and to be with him forever in heaven one day, that the church, as our first reading prophesies, is to be a house of prayer for all peoples. The Canaanite woman was confident in her desire to receive Christ's healing graces for her daughter. We too must be confident to witness to our Catholic faith, even when it is challenged. Just as I was nervous to witness to my faith with my college roommate, you know, at times we will be challenged to witness as well. Yet, like the Canaanite woman, we must be confident in our fidelity nonetheless. We must never be ashamed to be Catholic. We must never be ashamed to know our faith and to live our faith, even when so many people have abandoned our faith for all sorts of superficial reasons. Never be ashamed to invite friends or family to Mass. Never be ashamed to be seen praying by others. I hope our college students all put up a crucifix or some religious symbol in your dorms and apartments. And if you don't have one, let me know. I'll get you one. God has tons of money. I'll find you one. We all should have religious images such as a crucifix in our homes, right? That lets the devil know whose house it belongs to. We too must know who we are, Catholics, Christians, and be willing, when circumstances arise, to be confident in our faith, to talk about it, to look into it, learn about it, and even invite others to learn more about it as well, so that they too may, through the grace of God, enter into full communion with Christ's church and receive the saving graces of the sacraments. And so, on this Sunday, are we willing to be confident in being a witness to Christ to those he sends our way, even when it is challenging? Amen.